hit your neighbor and say, or tap your neighbor, because some of y'all will hit real hard. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad that you're in God's house. Tell second choice, you really made it on time. No, you tell them, I'm glad you made it. Give me a good amen. Come on. Amen. Aren't we glad? I remember I would go to that church, and I'm not going to say where it was, but I would go get there, and I would do everything I could to get there on time. But, you know, sometimes I got that spirit on me. And then my pastor would embarrass me. He would go, ¿Qué bueno que vinites? And he would, like, and there would only be, like, 20 of us. That means in translation, y'all don't speak the heavenly language here. He would say, I'm so glad you made it. And I was like, man, I felt so bad when I sat down. But we don't do that here, right, everybody? We just thank God that you're here. Amen. You made it. Amen. Favor, even if you came in the second quarter, amen, third quarter, fourth quarter, you still get the same reward as everybody else. Favor is not fair. Amen. Some of y'all are cutting up too much here. Welcome, first-time guests. Let's just thank God that they're here. And thank you for coming to Living Faith Church. We're honored that you're here, and we're so blessed. And usually I'm not this mean, but I didn't eat this morning, so I'm kind of mad. Give me a good amen. That's going to be a good one. Amen. So thank God. It'd be an honor to welcome you and personally meet you. I'm going to be here, but we're going to be doing a lot, and I really want to shake your hand and meet you if you haven't been here in the first time. Make sure you fill out the connection card, and we want to give you a free gift and just thank you again. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome live our Facebook audience. Give them a big, big hand. So thankful that you're joining us, and I know that you're going to be blessed. And if you're ever in San Antonio or you're looking for a home church, this could be your home church. Maybe God is sending you here. Give me a good amen. If you're not happy in your own church, I sometimes don't say that, but if there's been problem after problem, maybe you need to come somewhere else. Amen. I don't know. I'm just saying that expressively, but if you've stuck it out long enough, amen, you're always welcome here. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I've often told the people of Living Faith, if you see scandal going on, if the pastor's running around with the secretary stealing money, then you need to leave that church. And then I'll follow you. No, I won't. But maybe you need a new environment. Sometimes God needs to send you to a good place. And thank God for accountability here at this church and the blessing. We're not perfect, as it said, but we love God. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So within the pages of God's word are packed the great stories of faith. Also, check in on your social media devices. Take a selfie of yourself. I'll like it. When it does the locator, it says Living Faith Church. Make sure that you put something of faith on there. Show that you're in the house of God. And then you'll see the multiplication of the witness that you have by showing your social media that you went to church. Amen. It's good. Amen. I know you're not ashamed of the Lord. Amen. Give me a good amen. And so we thank God. I did that earlier, and you'll find me. Friend me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, amen, so you'll find, and then like us at Living Faith Church, Living Faith SA, you'll find us, amen, everybody?
Amen.
The Unlikely Heroes, our series, and we're going to pull out from the grandstand John the Baptist. We're going to look at how they became legends in their time, and then how their tombstones outlive them today, because they're still speaking to us even beyond the grave today. And in Hebrews chapter 11, our theme scripture has been Hebrews 11:39 on the screen. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. And it was not only like this faith, will I come to church once a week? It was a powerful faith. It was a hallmark faith where they literally knew that it was a personal relationship that they had with God every day. It was their essence. Abraham had that. Isaac and Jacob, Sarah, Rahab, Esther, they had this great faith that marked them because it was a personal relationship that they had with God. It wasn't something distant. It wasn't their grandmother's Oldsmobile. It was their Oldsmobile. They had their own relationship, right? Yet none of them received all that God had. As good as Abraham was, as good as John the Baptist was, as good as Esther was, they didn't receive everything that was promised. What were they promised? They were promised the Messiah that would come and save them from their sins. And so they went off into their graves knowing that one day it was going to be better. For God had something better in mind for us. And so somebody say, for us.
For us.
That means I'm connected there.
Yes.
I'm connected with the background of the Old Testament. I'm connected with guys like Abraham. You're connected with guys like Isaac and Jacob and Esther. You have a background with the royal lineage of heaven and all these great followers that have followed Jesus before you, that you would follow in their footprints, that you would follow in their footsteps, and you would follow after them because they made the way easier for you today. It continues to say this, check this out. For God had something better in mind for us, that they would not reach perfection without who? Without little old you. Really? That those legends, they needed you just as much as you needed them? Yes. And that's the company of God. That's how God works. That their example, they're an example to us, but we're not complete without them, and they're not complete without us today. Amen? And I just find that so encouraging that you can be found in the company. No matter what background that you have, your past is your past. No matter what you went through on the way to church, fighting on the way to church. Give me a good amen. God saw that today. I didn't. But who? God can still use all of us in this room today. Amen. Now it's your time to run. It's your time. They had their time. They can say, you know what, I'm coming out of the grandstands and I'm going to whisper in your ear because you can't hear me shouting for you because I'm shouting with everybody else in the grandstands. We're surrounded by these great clouds of witnesses, but today I'm going to come down and talk to you. I'm going to come down and I'm going to speak to you about 30 minutes. I'm going to run a couple of laps with you on life's race. I'm going to keep up with you, amen, because I did it, you can do it today, right, everybody? Amen. John the Baptist was probably one of the most unusual characters in the Bible, and he teaches us that if God can use someone like him with what he went through at his present moment, that God can use us today. Amen. And so John the Baptist dressed in camel hair. If that's you, would you stand up right now? If you're wearing the latest fashions today. He ate locusts, and that might have been us, right? But I think he had to down it, so it said he ate locusts with wild honey. So I believe he dipped the locusts into the wild so it could be palatable. Right, everybody? He was the first paleo diet guy, right? All protein, right? And he always pointed people back to Jesus. As great as I am, he said, you know what? There's someone greater. There's someone that I shouldn't even tie. I should be tying their shoelaces. And so he was Jesus's cousin. He was 6 months older. Jesus was 6 months older than he was. And so, no, he was 6 months older than Jesus. I want you to make sure, because I got these Bible scholars in this room. They're going to say, no, Pastor, you got it wrong on that one. And so if he was my cousin, I think I would brag. You know how it goes when you're a freshman in high school, you walk into that big high school, you don't know anybody, are you protected, or has anybody gotten to you yet? You know, you're part of, Jesus is my cousin. You know, so everybody would back off, because Jesus was great, right? Amen. And so John the Baptist was this attention grabber. Really didn't need an introduction. One time he was talking against church folk that thought they were all that prideful. And he called them a brood of vipers. And I don't know, but that doesn't sound nice, does it? John the Baptist wasn't politically correct. And he came to clean the swamp. And he really did. He said, I'm cleaning out the swamp, man. John prophesied the coming of Jesus. And he baptized hundreds of people. And including Jesus. What an honor that he lived today. Just as his ministry was taking off, he had this thing happen to him that set him back. He was imprisoned. An angel announced John the Baptist's birth, and he also kicked within the womb, the Bible says. In the very end of him, the very end of John's life, Jesus said he was the greatest man that ever lived. Pretty good, right? Has anybody been called that? Not in this room, right? Nobody's Muhammad Ali either, right? Everybody? Jesus called him the greatest man that ever lived. It's incredible to me. In the middle of, from the beginning to the end, but in the middle is where John faced this scandal. And things weren't so great for him. Things were tough. See, John saw the sin and the political aspects of his community. And a king named Herod at that time was having eyes for his sister-in-law. And he really desired her, and his brother Philip, you know, they fell in love, his sister-in-law and him, and they shacked up and then they got married. And when John the Baptist saw this as a prophet of God to Israel, he rebuked the king. He spoke against him. Well, that caught him so much so, and he got He got thrown in prison. And a man that's used to the outside, the desert air, the locusts and honey, the camel hair, the belt that puts it all together, he didn't like the cell. It started messing with his reality. It started messing with his thought. And so in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, it says this on the screen. Do you have that in your handout, or you can look it on the board? You look it on the board with me or on your devices. And when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples. John the Baptist was a rabbi also, so he had his own group of men. And he sent one of his disciples, because I'm sure they were visiting him in prison in the darkness of the dungeon. He said, ask him, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else? And so there goes John's disciples. And just to play it out, he said, John told me to ask you, Jesus, if you are the one, or should we expect someone else? Are you really the Messiah? And Jesus said, John asked you that? And he says, and all of a sudden, this man came right and interrupted the conversation. And he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I can't see. He says, hold up. Before I answer that, let me lay hands on him. And he laid hands on the blind man, and the blind opened his eyes. And a man that was deaf couldn't hear, and he was like, his friends probably brought him, and he said he can't hear. And Jesus laid his hands on the deaf man, and the deaf man could hear. There was a lame man that was probably brought on a cot with his friends, and they laid him. And he says, you know, hey, Jesus, before you go over there, because I know are you the one, or should we expect somebody else? Hold up, let me lay hands on this lame man. And the lame man got strength in his legs and was able to walk at that very moment. A dead man came, and they threw him at Jesus' feet, and Jesus blew breath into his life, and he lived again. And the poor were coming, and Jesus fed the poor and gave them the good news at that very moment. And he says, now, after all that, he said, come, what did you want? He said, are you the one, or should we expect another? And it says this, go back and report to John. How many know there's a difference between hearing something and seeing something? Amen. Do you get it today? Amen. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed through the poor. How could John the Baptist feel that way after all that Jesus had done, after all the powerful ministry that John the Baptist, how could he go through something like that? Has anybody ever gone through a reality that you think is God? Are you really real? Are you out there? Because I sure have. I'm not levitating up here. How about you? Yeah, my Bible doesn't float when I read it. How about yours? Maybe it does. Maybe we need to go to your house, right? You go through stuff in life, and it hurts. Now, if you're not going through anything in life right now, I'm real happy for you. Really, I am. In spite of everything that John faced, being in prison in the darkness, the reality shifted in his life from faith to look at the circumstance I'm now in, from being a powerful follower of God, a prophet of God. And so I'd like to just say, John would say this. He would still tell you this, even in a prison cell. He'd say, when your reality is bigger than your faith, in other words, you're lost in your reality, because the problem is so big that you can't see God and your faith is shrunk down, you still have to have confidence in God. Problems come out of nowhere and they sucker punch us in life. In Bible college, they never teach you what to do when you walk into a room and someone's just been pronounced dead. What do you say in a waiting room? What do you say when a heartbreak or a tragedy hits? You go through life and you don't know what to say. You just hope that you can be there. And the less that you say is even better for all the leadership in this room, that you face that also with me in life. Amen. Years ago, there was a great man in our church, and he had been part of our church, and he was involved. And I remember inviting him to our church. I was bivocational at that moment, and he was a printer, and I was selling printing. And I invited him to come to the church. And he came to the church. We were in the elementary school. Here comes his wife and his two little girls. And his little girls grew up in the church, and they became teenagers, young ladies. Well, that C word comes into his life when he's probably in his late 40s, the cancer word. and he's battling cancer, and we're believing God that he'll be healed. And I remember the first Wednesday we were worshiping God and we were praying, and we were in the smaller building that's the student center now, and he was on the front row, and I remember him before he went to the hospital, and he was worshiping God with all of his heart because he knew he needed God at that moment, and he knew that we prayed and we believed God, and he was worshiping God and closing his eyes. And that image will never leave me of him seeking God. Well, he went to the hospital because he was going through treatment and he had a little bit of a setback. But we all thought because he was young enough, he was going to battle through and he was going to get through it. Prognosis was good. And they called me. They said, he's in the hospital. Would you come as quick as you could? Because we just don't want anything to happen. And we need to. So I went to the Methodist adult hospital and we were praying. And I met his family there. His daughters are now older now, teenagers almost, young adults. And then his wife is there, and we're waiting. And right when I got there, within 5 minutes, the doctor was pretty direct. He walked in, and he looked just like he had been through a war. I saw. He said, we did everything we could, but he passed. And he was so, I could feel it, like this was his doctor, and he'd been there, and the history was he'd walked them through. And I remember his bride, his wife of probably, 20 years, 25 years, she screamed out, oh, no, no. And the ugliness of that, she said, can I go be with him? And that doctor just looked like he'd been through just a fight. He said, you wouldn't want to see him right now. We did everything we could to bring him back. And the room was just like the air was taken out of it in that waiting room. And I don't know how it was, but we were the only ones in that waiting room at that hour. It was a waiting room for the whole floor. And his daughters began to weep and wail, and there I was, and I got I made the phone call to the admin at that time of our church, and I said, hey, he passed, brother passed, and she couldn't believe it. She said, he's gone, and I said, yeah, he's gone. I said, we need to get ready to do the funeral and prepare and call the leaders and begin to just put him on the, pray for his family. They're going through a lot right now. And I waited a little bit there. We did the funeral a few days later. But how does that reality that you serve God at that moment for everyone in that room, including myself, but not as much as it was for the ones that his wife and his two daughters, how does that become bigger than your faith? And there can be moments in life because you're human that there's doubt and there's such disappointment. And I hope that you never go through a waiting room experience, but I need to even bring it back. Maybe you're worried so much right now and you're disappointed and you have this valley that you've gone through that you're just as hurt. You're feeling that right now because your faith is shrinking. But the reality is I'm in this dead-end job, or my marriage, I thought it would be better. I'm a man of God. We got married and I thought things would be better for me. And the reality is speaking bigger than your faith. All of us have that moment. All of us feel that way. And I think John the Baptist would show up on the other side of glory and he would speak to us and he would tell you the last thing. He would tell you, ask God to help find the revelation in his word and to secure his promises. And that's a bunch of, that's a big word of that. I couldn't find anything else to fit the sentence. But here's what I mean by that. When you're going through your deepest valley, would you live a devoted life? Would you live a devoted life when you're not going through your deepest valley so you're ready to go? When you're in the deep valley, you're already ready. And most of us aren't. You're like me. That emergency happens, that situation happens, and then I go, God, help me. Because I think that's sometimes where we need to be weak, because God is very strong in that moment and we are leaning on God instead of leaning on ourselves and our own talents and ability. Find your word. Find that place. That's why there's no greater thing than finding the one-year Bible, doing the bookmark that we do, because you're constantly every day in the Word, and therefore you're secure in who you are. Thank God for a church, but in reality, I have a job because of it, but thank God for God's Word. Amen. And if you're complaining about the church and what it's not doing, I kind of think that you're probably not in the Bible, because you're not getting the promise of God through the Bible. Amen. Amen. You need to eat. Amen. And if you're only eating one day a week, then you're probably not, you're going to be spiritually anemic and you're going to complain a lot. And it's going to be tough for you to be a member of this church. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so you get the revelation of God by finding my word. And then you say, I'm secure in the promise, even in the darkness of this moment right now. Give me a good amen. Amen. Big problem, even bigger God. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, thank God. And so ask God to help you. Lord, give me something because I'm desperate right now. My career isn't what it should be. My children aren't. My marriage, Lord, I need something from your word today. And help me be secure in the promises of God. So John the Baptist would encourage you to do these three things. Number one, know God's promises. Are you there with me? Yeah? Amen. John came on the scene after 400 years. Somebody shout 400 years. 400 years. Of silence. That's a whole lot of long time for God to be silent. And so from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the spirit of Elijah with repentance and water baptism, John comes in on the scene and the silence stops. He brought that in. He brought a spiritual movement in that continued past the time of Christ because he was that man that could do it today. And thank God for it. And Isaiah, he was the one that made the prophecy come real. Isaiah 43, are you there with me? You haven't had too much fun, so this is the time that you can talk back. Is that cool? Yeah. Some of y'all woke up. Amen. I get to talk in church. You get to talk in church, right? And also with you. Peace, peace unto you. No. So Isaiah 40. ¿Qué pasó? No, I woke up. Amen. Okay. Isaiah 43 on three. Amen. Here we go. One, two, three. A voice. Now, whoa. We do the Evelyn Wood speeding read method here. Amen. No, we begin together. On three, everybody checking this out. Yeah. One, two, three, go. A voice of one calling. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight. I'm so good for the good news that there was going to be a forerunner for Jesus to make his way right, and the wilderness was going to be cleared out by that forerunner to prepare. We got to clear out some brush. We got to make it better because I'm going to make his pathway clean. It's going to be a straight way in the highway in the desert. It's going to be have a four lane because of what I do in my life today. And I need to speak to every man of God in this room today that you're believing for your sons and daughters to be better because of your walk, the highway that you made. Amen. You're making it better. You're making it easy for them to walk today. My father was a great man. And you may have known him. I can complain about his faults. And I can look back and say, you know what? He was this or that today. But I look at the good things that my dad did. He made a way for me to be in ministry. He made a way for me have a life. And on his shoulders, amen, which weren't too much higher than my shoulders, but I can be a little bit taller. Give me a good amen. And thank God for our parents. They make a way. Dad and mom, what you're doing today by coming to church, by bringing your children to church and trying to stay awake in church this morning, you're going to be, your sons and daughters are going to follow and they're going to be better. They're going to stay awake in church finally. Give me a good amen. Yeah, they are. Amen. Woman of God in this church, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will follow you and they'll testify of you about the way that you made that no one else followed. And she was the first one to bring God into my house. And I remember my grandma would tell you, they're going to have stories like that, how they sat at your feet or they would see you kneel and pray in your room, in your house, because you are a woman of God and you'll mark them forever because you made a way in the wilderness today. Amen. Don't give up, amen, on living for Jesus. Recall the promises of God and trust in God today. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, God does. And that's where I put my trust in God today, right? And so much to you today, amen. There's always somebody bigger that can come behind you, and you must make a way for them today, as John did. 2 Corinthians, today we sang this beautiful song, 120 on the screen, and it's in your handout today. No matter how many promises, I'm so glad we don't have a human God, because they break their promises. They're still in the grave, right? They don't come out of the grave. Amen. They lie. They cheat. But God is a promise keeper. God is the only one. He's the real God. For no matter how many promises, he made a bunch of them, he has made, and they are yes. Amen. So my confidence is in the Lord today. How about yours? If I put it in my ability, I'm going to fail, and so are you. But if you put it in God, amen, you won't fail today, amen. We're strong because of God today, right, everybody? Amen. And God has made a way, and they are yes in the Lord. And so through him, they are amen. Somebody say, so be it. When you say amen and the preacher's preaching, that means truth. So be it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Cierto. Amen. Truth. Amen. And so it's spoken to us by the glory of God. I need you to take your eyes off that current situation and put them on the promises of God.
Amen.
And lift up your head. Throw your shoulders back. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And walk around with an attitude, not because you're all that, and say, no, my God is good. I'm confident in my God. He hasn't failed me yet, amen?
Amen.
And if it were up to me, I would have failed, but God, I'm in God today, amen?
Amen.
Share the promise that God is within you and give him glory right now in the house of the Lord today, amen? Yeah, give God the opportunity to do something in your life today by clinging to the promises of God. The second thing John the Baptist would tell you, amen, we know the promises of God. Second, experience what God is doing. Build your faith. Tell your neighbor, build your faith, neighbor. There's a big difference between hearing something and seeing something. Remember the little person on Fantasy Island? Shout his name. He was a man of God. He would go, the plane, the boss, the plane, the plane. Guy was a hero, right? Because you would hear the plane before you would see the plane land. In God's word, in God's economy, God wants you to hear the word before you see it come to pass. That's why you speak the promises of God and then you experience what God's doing because you've declared the word over your life. Then you see the word come to pass. There's nothing like hearing it, but there's nothing like seeing it. Amen. That's why you need to experience Sunday morning at Living Faith Church. You can watch it on Facebook Live, but there's someone told me this, and I'm not the preacher. They're testifying. They're sitting where you're sitting. They said there's nothing like being there.
Amen.
When I'm here, I experience it. Amen. Amen. God is good. However you get to see it, maybe in a hospital room. I don't know if they have it in jail yet. We're not that far yet. Amen. That's why you need to experience a small group, because you're gonna sit next to somebody in a small group, or you're gonna participate in a small group, and they're gonna say, "I went through that same thing. You too. Me too. My children were just like that. My marriage was just like that. My marriage is like that right now. But we all need to pray for our marriages." And you get somebody that's just like a weirdo, just like you, amen? A bunch of weirdos in the small group. You say, well, we do enough Bible study. I want to do something. Well, you can be part of a serve group. You can go serve somebody, amen? And there are groups like that you can be part of every week at Living Faith Church. And every month you can be part of that. That's why you need to experience the baptism, the water baptism that we'll do at the end of the service. And you'll say, well, what's that about? You know, water baptism is just a symbol that you're following Jesus publicly out loud, that you're not walking and you're just not doing something that God wanted us to do. I didn't bring any clothes, so I lucked out of that one today. You know what? This church loves you so much that we brought clothes for you. So there shouldn't be an excuse. We have towels today. If you need towels, they may not look like this towel. We got shorts for you if you need shorts, extra large. We got whatever that was, amen. And then we got, you say, did you shop at Dillard's? No, I just took the bag, amen. We even have a great t-shirt for you that Linda got for you. And it says this, I have decided to follow Jesus. And when you put this on, you get baptized, you're going to look really good. Yeah, what? It's that stretchy fabric that one size fits all, right? That selfish person is saying, no one ever gave me a t-shirt. I got baptized a year ago. You big selfish thing, you. Rejoice, amen, that we're able to bless people. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so we have everything ready for you. The only response on your part says, yes, I'll be baptized today as a follower of Jesus today. Amen. And thank God for it. The Word of God was not meant just to be part of our lives. The Word of God was to be experienced, that it would take over our lives and it would set our course, that I would look at God's Word and it would rule my marriage. It would be the point for my future. It would say, this is the the compass now and I go this way today. Experience what God is doing. At the time in Mark chapter 1, are you there with me? Verse 9, yeah, are you there? At that time, one person, how about the rest of the bunch? Yeah, come on, everybody, catch up. At that time, Jesus, here he is, Jesus is being baptized. Why was Jesus baptized and he was the Son of God, perfect in every which way? Because he wanted to be an example. The humanity of Jesus going into the water, being baptized by John, shows me that I should follow in his footsteps and I should be like Jesus and I should get baptized too. Jesus came from Nazareth into Galilee and he was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open. That means he did something in the natural and God did something supernatural. And so when you get water baptized, you sure do go into the water and it's nice and warm today. Give me a good amen. Richard made sure of it. You go into that water and then you rise up and God does something supernaturally. And this is affirmation. And a voice comes from heaven, says, "You are my son, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased." It pleases God when you're baptized today. Amen. Baptism is just an outward sign that you're following Jesus. In the book of the early church, they would have to go to the Jordan River and the community would line up on the banks and they were going, "Oh, they're part of that movement, the way." I wonder if we're going to keep them on at the company. Inheritance, a family, they did that and they left our religion to do that. We're going to disregard them out of the inheritance. That's what it would cost them. I don't think it's costing anybody today that in this sense. In other words, we're rejoicing with you. God didn't ask us to do too many things in his word. Of course, he asked, "Give me your heart." Yeah, that's part of it. But God told us to be water baptized as an outward symbol. It doesn't keep you from heaven. You can go to heaven still and not be water baptized. But he told you, "Would you follow me in this example?" And by the way, I'm going to throw in the benefit that I died for your sins. Your sins are paid for. And so if I didn't want to be baptized after somebody died for me, and they asked, this is what I'm asking you, follow me and be water baptized. I think that'd be pretty selfish of me. And I would wonder if you really want to follow Jesus given the opportunity that you're given today. I'm just saying, is that cool with everybody? Amen. I mean, you got to look at it that hard. "Oh, I thought you were going to be happy today." Yeah, I am. I'm a little bit mean today, right, everybody? I would call my mama during Bible college days and I'd say, "Mama, I'm coming home for the weekend," or "I'd come home for Thanksgiving, get a break." And say, "Mijito, ¿qué puedo hacer para ti?" In other words, she would say, "Son, what can I make for you, your favorite meal?" I said, "Mama, you know, after eating cafeteria food, I love your, I love the mole. Y'all are followers of Mario today. Amen, give me a good amen." I would order frijolitos and beans. I have to adjust my heavenly language here. I would love her beans and I would love her rice. And it's funny how you miss, when you're away from good home cooking, how you miss the simple stuff, right? And so whatever you make, Mom, make the beans and make the rice. And so I would notice through the years, because I noticed how good my mom was, just like everybody else's mama in this room, or how you are. When she would make the beans, she would pour the bag of beans on the table, kitchen table, and she would separate the beans, good bean. And then she would take out the rocks. She would take out the dirt. Because it was dirt, it wasn't bad, you know, organic wasn't invented back then. Give me a good amen. Amen. And she would separate it, and that's the way the process was. And spiritually speaking, see, God wants to use you. God wants to cleanse you. Amen. And would you allow God to separate the dirt and the rocks so you're that pinto bean that you're supposed to be? Yeah. Because you're going to taste good, amen. God uses people that he cleanses, that he cleans up, and that he uses. And thank God that you're supposed to do that today, to be a candidate of the Lord today. God loves you enough to not leave you the same. Amen? Amen. And we love God enough not to stay the same. Amen. Leave your sins in the Jordan River. Leave your sins in that tank, but become that new man of God today. John questions his situation here, and there's a real good response that Jesus gives him. And I'm so glad that Jesus rebuked him. No, he didn't. Y'all can say, oh me. No, he didn't do that today. Look how Jesus responds. Jesus, when he got the question, disciples asked Jesus if he's really the one. I noticed God wasn't mad at him. And I'm so glad that God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, right, everybody? Amen. And Jesus replied, Jesus could have went to visit him on his own. And he could have sent an angel. But he said, go back, disciples. Go back and report what you see. Go back. You go back. You be my hands. You be my feet. Do y'all get that today? Amen. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The leprosies are, people that have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. A brother or sister right now that is having trouble. They were once on fire for God. They don't need a rebuke. They don't need you to straighten them out. What they need is love. Amen. Yes. They need the grace. They need the truth, but they need the truth spoken in love. Because once they followed Jesus, but right now they're a little bit in trouble. They're in a cell. They're in bondage and they need help today. And your response is big time as a disciple. Because by the grace of God, we're not in the cell. We're not in the darkness. We're not discouraged right now. Amen. And so there could be a valley of disappointment during the season. Some of y'all are getting this right now. You're in marriage trouble. There's some loneliness that's faced you. There's some private pain that's coming upon you. And you're maybe even addicted to something. But I believe that there's disciples in this room that have gotten the word. Go back. Go back and tell him that it's going to be okay, amen? Did you know that maybe God brought you into this moment right now? Listen to me, that God brought you right now into this moment, into this room, because maybe the answer to your problem, to your loneliness, to your depression, to your sickness, to your life crisis, to your career problem right now, maybe sitting right next to you. Your brother and sister is the answer right now because of what they went through and they've come out of. And so I'm going to ask you to illustrate this sermon right now with me and join me in this journey. And if you've ever had a marriage problem that you thought was going to be so great, and that both of y'all thought as a couple, and you may be here and she's not here, or both of y'all together. If you ever had a marriage problem that you thought was so insurmountable, you were ready for the divorce court to happen, but by the grace of God, your marriage was saved and you're still here. Would you stand to your feet right now? I just need you to be in a living testimony right now in the glory of God as his trophy right now. If that's you right now and your marriage was saved by the grace of God, stand to your feet. Would we give God the glory for these people that are standing right now? Yeah. And I need you to do this with me right now. Amen. Look at the testimonies of God's grace right now. These are bold people, but they're real people. I need you to remain standing right now, just because others are going to join you, believe it or not. Well, come on, Pastor, I'm feeling kind of... No, you're going to be okay, amen. There's people on Facebook standing with you right now. If you've ever been shackled by addiction that you thought, I will never be free from this addiction. It's making me do stuff that I shouldn't be doing. The substance that I'm doing. But by the grace of God, today I'm free. The Son of God has set me free. Free at last right now. Stand right now so others can be encouraged right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm wondering if there's ever been a medical report that you got and you thought that I'm never going to be made well. I'm never going to be whole. The doctor said I have this circumstance. I have this disease. And it's going to take a miracle for me to be made well. And if that's you right now and you've been healed by the blood of Jesus and you're well, would you stand right now as a testimony of God's goodness? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm standing and you're standing and we're proving the world that the blood of Jesus and we have miracles in our lives today. I'm wondering if there's somebody in this room and you said, you know, I'm financially bankrupt. We don't have enough for the rent. It's going to be a miracle if I get food on the table. If that's you and you've been able to eat and your rent is paid, would you stand up right now to the... Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Look around and see all the good things that God has done right now. Amen. If you're in this room, I'm wondering if there's a person in this room that you've been so lonely and you've been so depressed and you fought the darkest of nights because where you were at, and you even like huddled up and you thought, am I going to make it today? Am I going to make it tomorrow? And by the grace of God, you're not lonely anymore. You're not depressed anymore. Would you stand up right now and give God all the glory, all the praise? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I get a little bit emotional because God has brought me through some stuff. How about you today? And I'm still standing today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, see this right now. See, God did this for a lot of people in this room. And look around. Amen. And if God did this for someone else, God loves you the same way, and He'll do it for you too. Amen. If you're discouraged in this room right now, and if you need God to move in your life, there's a bunch of people that are standing, and they'll love you, and they'll honor you, and it's going to be not to embarrass you at this moment, because it's probably isn't the right moment to do it because of what block and walls that they are, but I hope that they come down enough for you right now that you say, I noticed that you stood. I noticed that you needed help from God and God helped you. I need help right now. Let the miracle be your brother and sister in this room, because this church will love you. This church will help you, right? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise right now before you sit down. Yeah. The third principle, you can sit, rest your body. The third principle is this: remember, somebody say remember. Remember. I love remember, and I love recalling. Remember who God is today. Remember who God is today. Amen. Remember that God has been good. Amen. When your reality is built on big faith, you remember who God is today. The Bible says this, so the psalmist says in Psalms 42:6, my soul is downcast within me, but I got to remember. I got to recall. Amen. Somebody hit your neighbor and say, remember. Remember. You remember, right? You remember. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. Yeah, from that baptism pool that I remembered. Amen. At that moment, the heights of Hermon from the Mount Mazar. At that moment, amen, I'm that high, but I can also be that low today. I'm going to remember who God is. And lastly, the final scripture is this, in the Passion Translation, instead of saying, I've stumbled, John, don't stumble over the truth today, the Passion Translation